The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. And today, and for the rest of the season, it's also presented by a new studio. We have a new home for those that are watching live on Twitter,
yes,
or YouTube, or the ESPN Fantasy app, or the ESPN app, or wherever it is that you watch us daily. You might notice that we
How many people do you think watch on the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page?
Probably a lot.
You think?
I'm not a user of Facebook myself.
I am not.
But I believe it's a very popular medium still, yeah, based off the stuff that I read.
Yeah, no, it is. I just wonder how many of our audience is specific to Facebook.
So that's probably a question around the
tent pole. Like Mama Dop. Like, does Mama Dop, let's get a shot of Secret Squirrel so we can see where Secret Squirrel is.
Yeah,
like, does Mama Dop, who's a frequent listener of the 0610, we all love Mama Dop.
Sure.
Mama Dop is Facebook age.
She is, yeah. She is, but she does watch on the Twitter. She likes to be able to be a part of the chat. I mean, she's one of the cool kids of being a part of the Twitter chat.
100%. And once again, she's at Dot Mama.
That is correct.
At Dot Mama. If you want to follow Secret Squirrel's mother, she is a great follow at Dop, D-O-P-P, Mama, M-A-M-A.
Relentlessly positive is Mrs. Dop. And
yeah,
as I said, we have a new studio. You may have just seen Daniel shot. And also, perhaps the best part is that now we are in the same room as Stefania.
Yes,
is just feet away from us.
I know.
To have you there.
It's crazy because I can hear you through my earpiece, but then I can hear you for real.
Yeah.
Right next to me. It's like stereo, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, at least for today.
Right, and they just saw the wide shot there to see how. So you're inching closer to us, Stefania. At first, you were in the Chateau de Cône. You were at your home.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved you to Kyle's bunker.
Yep.
And now you are in the same room as us, just slightly behind us.
Right. I feel like it's those cartoons with the plant where the plant would all of a sudden move and move and move. I'm the plant.
Well, there
it's
you
great
go
that we have this new space. We're grateful for all those that made it possible. And for those that are watching, hopefully you enjoy the new digs that we have. Of course, for those listening on the audio version, it'll be the same thing every single day.
Yes.
Let's get into our
don't
recap.
Worry about us like suddenly getting good.
That media app studio is
right.
Still mediocre fantasy advice. Still like very middle of the road mediocre fantasy advice.
Yes.
Just in fancier digs.
We are on to November and we have all but one game played so far for week 8. So let's get to all of the takeaways from week 8 on Sunday. And let's begin with a bunch of injuries. And of course, our closely located Stefania Bell can get us through the most important ones from Sunday.
Well, Kenny Golladay, with a lot of fantasy managers have him on their team and registered a lot of nothing yesterday. Ended up with a hip injury. Was originally questionable to return, but ended up missing the entire second half. And so this one sounds like something that could cause him to miss some time. Obviously, we'll learn more as the week goes on. The 49ers.
Not again.
I don't even know where to begin because literally when I was going through this last night, I was saying you could take a player, you know, everybody, even Fred Warner on the defense. I mean, for those of us who follow the team closely, but I will stick to those relevant to our fantasy audience. I'm starting with Tevin Coleman, who the 49ers were happy to get back coming off injured reserve, activated for yesterday's game, ends up leaving in the first quarter with an injury to the same knee. So it's unclear whether it was just uncomfortable and he couldn't go. Kyle Shanahan didn't know a lot about it, but at the end of the day, not much out of Tevin Coleman before he was forced out of the game. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, who did not look good in this game and then clearly was in pain later on, appeared to have aggravated that high ankle sprain. And Kyle Shanahan referenced it. He said, you know, we know these injuries can linger. And Jimmy Garoppolo has been up and down in his performance, but apparently also dealing with a setback with the ankle yesterday. And then George Kittle, the one bright spot in our offense, who had a really pretty spectacular catch in the fourth quarter, but the result of it was an injury to his foot. Now, initially, x-rays were reported to be negative, but with foot injuries, that does not by any stretch tell the whole story. Kyle Shanahan's comment when speaking to the media afterwards was that he hoped Jordan Reed would be ready to play on Thursday. Jordan Reed, of course, has been on injured reserve with a knee injury. And the 49ers, of course, playing Thursday night against the Packers, not much time for recovery.
Well, and so let's get into that 49ers matchup here just for a second, Matthew, because they do play in just a few days. You're going to have to act quick, and it may be that even if these are not significant injuries, they could cost those players at least one game. I think the backfield's where we start, and Tevin Coleman leaving early meant still more opportunity for Jamichael Hasty. It appears,
right?
It appears that he is the ball carrier in this backfield right now, because Jerick McKinnon had -1 rushing yards yesterday, and I didn't watch this game probably as closely as Stefania. It appeared to me that most of McKinnon's receiving duty came late in the game when they were down big with Nick Mullins at quarterback. So it feels like going forward, at least to start the game on Thursday.
And it also, right, they were throwing a lot, so it felt like, you know, maybe they trust McKinnon more in pass protection right, of course. Yeah. Yes, and he's a very good pass catcher. So right.
It seems like on Thursday night, in a very good matchup, because the Packers can't stop anybody on the ground, just ask Dalvin Cook.
Or Michael anyone Hasty. That played against Dalvin Cook.
Correct. Jamichael Hasty will be a priority waiver ad this week.
I would think so. Yeah, 100%. Look, Jamichael Hasty is somebody that when he's gotten an opportunity, he's made plays. Now, he didn't look great against the Seahawks, but, you know, as the old phrase goes, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And, you know, Hasty was the best of a pedestrian running back lot. You know, what are you looking at me for? You never heard that phrase?
I wish you had messed it up. I wish you had been like, in the land of the one-eyed king, the one-eyed king is blind.
I've never heard that saying before.
You never have?
Heard that? Oh, I've at least heard it.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the original host of Fantasy Football Now used to say it all the time. It drove me crazy. But it's driven into my brain. That's right. But anyway, the idea is just basically that, you know, Hasty wasn't amazing yesterday,
right,
but he was the best guy the 49ers had. He did cash in the touchdown. And came close to cashing in earlier in that drive, another touchdown, and has shown bursts, you know, when he has gotten opportunity. To your point, it is a great match with the Packers. And, if they didn't think it would be surprising to see Tevin Coleman go. I mean, again, we don't know, but like, Tevin Coleman looked good, right? You know, he 3 carries, 20 yards. Like, he, you know, and then one big run. Right, one big run, but whatever. I mean, you know, but anyway. So, yes, I would think you're the man who writes the waiver wire column. I would think Jamichael Hasty, because we know there's going to be no Raheem Mostert here, and there's not going to be any Jeff Wilson Jr. So, you know, one of the issues with the 49ers is always, can you figure out who they're going to use? Because they just use so many multiple backs. Because if you can figure out who the star running back for the Niners is, that guy's going to have fantasy value. This week, it's going to be Jamichael Hasty.
George Kittle may be out for Thursday night. I mean, the fact that he's hurt now, we'll see. Is there any interest there in Jordan Reed if he were to be activated? As Stefania mentioned, he is eligible and at least has a chance to play against the Packers.
Yeah, certainly. Weeks one through three, when he was out there, you know, he especially had that one big game when Kittle was out. But, you know, 11 catches, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns in those 3 weeks. Saw 16 targets in those first 3 games. And again, he was just the first game. He just sort of, you know, just sort of getting his feet wet. So certainly there's some interest. They're looking around for pass catches. They don't have Debo Samuel, obviously. They're not going to have him on Thursday night as well. So, I mean, it's Brandon Ayuk. It's going to be Kendrick Bourne. And then, you know, possibly Jordan Reed, and if not Jordan Reed, maybe Ross Dwelly, who caught one pass, but it was a touchdown field. And as we enter Monday Night Football, Ross Dwelly, on his one catch for one touchdown, is the 11th best tight end in fantasy this week.
We need to eliminate tight ends from fantasy.
I'm just saying. No kickers, no defense, no tight ends.
That's right. Maybe just make them one large flex spot. Stefan, let's go back to you for more injury updates. Not that he's necessarily been anything close to a fantasy superstar this year, but what's the latest on T.Y. Hilton?
Yeah, if you were still holding out hope for T.Y. Hilton, I think now is the time to concede defeat on that front. He ended up leaving yesterday with a groin injury. I think it's worth noting that Michael Pittman was activated from injured reserve yesterday. He had been out after having that compartment syndrome fasciotomy procedure, but he is now back for them as an extra wide receiver. Darrell Henderson of the Rams left early with a thigh injury. Not clear yet, no word from McVay as to whether this is the same thigh injury that he was on the injury report for just recently, but something certainly to keep an eye on, especially if it was a setback, because we all know that when guys come and they have a soft tissue injury, they come back and they aggravate it. That typically means that they're out for longer afterwards. And then Diontae Johnson, this one just broke my heart. I think we talked on Fantasy Football Now yesterday about the difference in fantasy point. When he makes it through a game, it's double-digit fantasy gold, but he's had two games, now a third, cut short by having to leave for an injury yesterday. We saw him in the medical tent in the first quarter, a hamstring injury, the culprit this time. You know, he was talking to the media earlier this week and saying he felt like he was finally on track coming back from his different injuries, the back, concussion, toe. Now add a hamstring to the mix.
Matthew, I think you have a new comparison you want to roll out here for Deontay Johnson.
It's not mine. I want to be somebody. I saw somebody say this on Twitter, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's smart. Which is that, is Deontay Johnson the new Will Fuller?
It was Scott Barrett, I believe.
Was it Scott Barrett? Okay, yes. Yeah. So I it's not me. You know what I mean? I always want to take. I don't want to take credit for someone else's thought.
That's a
process.
Good idea. We probably know that.
Right.
It's just important that you give credit to the person that actually thought of it.
Right. No, I just couldn't remember. I'm bad at it. Yeah. So good. But so I'm glad you saw that. Good. Perfect. So, right. It's a tag team. I'm like, hey, here's a good idea that I know I didn't think of.
Right.
And then you know who actually did think of it.
I can just see the tag team partner where Field, you reach your hand through the rope, and then Matthew laying on the ground just sits straight up like the Undertaker gif coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, such a good point, Daniel.
That's a good gif.
Really good gif.
Anyway, shout out to my friend Scott Barrett here, which he's right on this. Like, is Deontay Johnson the new Will Fuller, right? So he's missed one game, which is week six. But two other games, week three and five, he played under 25% of the team snaps. His only catch in this week, in this game, and I think he left the game for a moment here, but his only catch in this game came in the fourth quarter. Like, he got, like, it's just sort of like super talented, but you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that's like, if he could stay on the field for the entirety of the game, you'd feel really good about it. And I don't know.
All right. So, factoring in that injury yesterday, yeah. I feel the same way. He's clearly talented, but he's clearly going to be banged up more frequently than other players who are built out of seemingly, you know, armor. Along those lines, let's get into the Steelers wide receiver group and maybe sort of re-tier it, because on Sunday's Fantasy Football Now show, we had a conversation. We think we ranked him going into this game like this. Deontay Johnson 1, Chase Claypool 2, Juju Smith-Schuster 3.
Right.
After yesterday, with Juju piling up 7 more catches for 67 yards. And I get it. That's not a lot of yards per catch, less than 10. Do we get to the point now where if you're chasing the floor, it's Juju? If you're chasing the upside, it's Chase Claypool. And if you don't have much roster flexibility, it's Deontay Johnson.
I guess so. It's hard for – but, God, Deontay Johnson is so tantalizing.
Right.
You know,
right.
So many targets, so many routes run. And then look at the schedule field. I mean, Deontay Johnson actually might be a buy low. And I get it, because people who roster him might be super frustrated. I'm frustrated. I have a lot of Deontay Johnson this year, and I'm frustrated. But look at this upcoming schedule. I mean, it gets ridiculous. At Dallas – home to Cincinnati, at Jacksonville. That's the next three. Then they're home to Baltimore, which obviously that's a tough matchup, but they should at least be a little bit better home against Baltimore. And then home to Washington. Like, so four of the next five are awesome matchups for pass catchers.
Not only that, they're 7-0, the only undefeated team in football, and they'll be favored in every game for the rest of the season.
That's right.
I mean, 16-0 probably won't happen. It's only happened twice. But,
right.
The Steelers are steamrolling right now.
Steamrolling. So it just, I don't know. I just think I understand the frustration here with Deontay Johnson. I really do.
Yeah.
But I think he probably still, again, it's going to be hard for me to sit there, even though as frustrating as it is, it's going to be hard for me to bench Deontay Johnson against Dallas.
He no doubt about that.
Right. But I think the takeaway here is that number one is understand, as you're setting your roster and you're looking at, like, sort of, you know, range of outcomes in terms of your opponent, everything like that, just understand there's more volatility to Deontay Johnson than perhaps you originally thought. And Juju Smith-Schuster, now with two games in a row, is back in the conversation, right? Maybe. Because we'd sort of, you know, said, all right, you got to prove it to me. He had one good game. All right, like, okay, that's a sign. Let me see it again. We saw it again. And now he gets the Cowboys, the Bengals, the Jags, and the next three.
I try to think of a different category to put Deontay Johnson in than Chase Claypool, and maybe they're in the same category. If you're chasing upside, you have Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool's options. If you're looking for floor and you have Juju Smith-Schuster on your roster, he's going to probably present a pretty good floor based off the schedule going forward.
Yeah.
Did you know?
By the way, but as long as we just talk about very quickly, but as long as we're just talking about, like, the brutality of the tight end position, Eric Ebron had a nice game too.
He did. That's right.
Yeah.
Big fantasy football aficionado as well. So that
there he is. And look, again, Cowboys, Bengals, Jags. Next three for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
I did not know that.
15% on top of the money Geico could already save you.
What?
So what are you waiting for?
I don't
Lamar Jackson to play like the player he was when you drafted him in the top 15 picks this year?
Wow.
More on that in just a minute. As nice as that might sound, that's probably not going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Visit geico.com to learn more.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and setting your fantasy lineup that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then, save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. All right, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Thank you for that, Daniel. Time now for a little game of news or noise based off what we saw in Week 8. And I just teased it. It's Lamar Jackson, who yesterday, 14.8 fantasy points. He had four turnovers in this game against the Steelers. They actually had a chance to win late. But Lamar has just not been himself as a thrower for basically the entire season. Matthew, are you at the point now where you're worried? Because I think that, well, it's probably pretty obvious you're worried.
So how can you not be?
How can you not be? The answer is you have to be. Because, again, you did not draft Lamar Jackson to be outside of the top 15 for quarterbacks in four of his past six games. You did not draft him to be that. You drafted him to be not just the best quarterback in fantasy, but to be the best quarterback in fantasy by a healthy margin.
Exactly.
Over every other quarterback, maybe except for Patrick Mahomes. He has been the antithesis of that. On Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, someone asked us on Twitter, who's been the most disappointing player in fantasy this year, and this was my offering, Lamar Jackson. Yesterday, one more log on that fire.
Yeah, listen, and I want to own this, right? So, like, we also got asked a Twitter question, like, would you consider starting Justin Herbert over Lamar Jackson? And I said, I get the question. I totally do. But no, if it's me, I'm probably still starting Lamar Jackson off of the bye. Bad weather. I think he's going to run a lot more. And honestly, that was the wrong call. So I apologize if the Fantasy Football Now viewer. That
can't
it was the
nail
wrong call.
All.
Can't nail them all. But it was the wrong call. I mean, I think the process was still right-ish. The fact here, though, is that, I mean, at this point, no. I mean, like, you know, ask me that question today. Like, you're starting Justin Herbert. Like, so you think about Week 1, right? Threw for 275 passing yards against the Browns. Since that time, he has yet to reach 210 passing yards. Again, we make so much of the rushing with Lamar Jackson, but the passing hasn't been there. This is a guy that led the NFL in passing touchdowns last year.
He's regressed. And I'm sure there are smarter people than I am that will have some reasons to point to, but flatly, he's regressed. There's no two ways about it. And here's the pickle.
Right.
Because this is the problem that we are facing with fantasy right now, is that we can sit here and tell you how bad it's been. That's descriptive analysis, right?
Sure.
But the predictive analysis for Lamar going forward is going to be really difficult. We can look at the schedule, and I would say I personally would offer that three of his next five matchups are excellent. He plays the Colts next week, not great. He eventually has a rematch with the Steelers, not great. But he plays the Patriots, the Titans, the Cowboys. All very good matchups. And
sure,
even further down the road, he's got another matchup with the Browns, home to the Jaguars, home to the Giants, at the Bengals. All those, again, great. The schedule's fine. So this is what I want to get into. And if the answer is hang tight and do nothing about it, that's an acceptable answer sometimes in fantasy football. What are you doing if you have Lamar? Because my answer is, as begrudgingly as I will do this, I'm going to keep starting him. Because it's this year, with the number of people that have very wisely picked up a second quarterback already.
Right.
You, unless your second quarterback is really, really sweet, like a Justin Herbert, you probably don't have a better option on your roster.
Okay, but play that out. Okay, so for example, so in the War Room League, the Irish Twins, of which you are one of the co-managers,
right,
you guys have Lamar Jackson.
Andrew Brees. Yeah.
Who would next week, yesterday, because Brees was on the road at Chicago, I would have played Lamar Jackson. I think that would have been the right call. But I'm asking, like, who does Brees play next week?
Buccaneers. Yeah.
Oh, that's a tough one, too.
Right.
All right. So, right. But, like, would you – I guess my point is that if Brees had a good matchup, like, let's pretend it was versus the Falcons.
Oh, then it's a conversation when Lamar has a terrible matchup.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that, like, that might happen, what, one or two times the rest of – maybe once the rest of the season?
I guess, but for me, Field, for me, what I how I would reframe it this way is that I no longer think of Lamar Jackson as a no-brainer, must start. I don't look at the matchup. I don't care. He's just locked in. Mahomes is that way. It doesn't matter to me who is on the schedule against Patrick Mahomes. You're starting Patrick Mahomes. Like, you're not even thinking about it, right? I actually think Justin Herbert is now that way, right? there's a couple of guys. Russell Wilson is that way, right? Yeah, you're not thinking. Sure. It doesn't matter who the Seahawks, whatever. They were playing 49ers yesterday. We're like, whatever. You're starting Russell Wilson.
Feels like Brady is that way right now.
Brady is that way, 100%. Yeah, exactly. Lamar Jackson, to me, is not that way. Yeah. So you just mentioned their upcoming schedule. Like, at the Colts this week, that's a conversation. Now, Matthew Stafford ended up having a big game against them, you know, sort of in comeback mode. So it's a my point is probably more often than not, the potential upside of Lamar Jackson is better than anything else you're going to have as an option to you. So I agree with you. More often than not, you're probably just starting Lamar Jackson, gritting your teeth, bearing it, and hoping for the best. But I think it is a conversation. I think every week you need to be like, all right, what are the options available to me? What's available on the waiver wire? Who else do I have on my roster? Who are they playing? Who are the Ravens playing? And the fact that we're talking about this, that Lamar Jackson, and that now it's a conversation that you have to stop and think about it for even half a second, is very telling.
Yeah. Well, Matt Harrington, who is my co-manager of the Irish Twins, notes that if yesterday we had Michael Thomas, it would have been a conversation. Obviously, Michael Thomas didn't play for the Saints.
Right.
Maybe Michael Thomas being back next week tilts that in the favor of Drew Brees. We shall see. We'll tell you next Sunday morning on Fantasy Football Now.
Right. And if the Buccaneers suffer an injury or two or suddenly lay an egg tonight on Monday Night Football, yeah, then, it, you know, and you think differently about the Buccaneers defense, sure.
But here's one that I feel differently, though. This one's a whole different to me, this one you can do something about it. It's Josh Allen.
Right.
So Josh Allen had 154 passing yards, one interception, 23 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown. Good for 12.5 fantasy points. Last two games, 61 passing attempts, zero passing touchdowns. He has, it's been
brutal.
A slog. It's been a bad four games.
Brutal.
And Matthew.
He's played seven, I'm sorry to interrupt you. He's played seven games. He's been good for three of them.
Eight games.
Oh, he's played eight games. I'm sorry.
Yep.
So he's been, didn't they have the bye? They had a bye.
Nope, they have a bye in week 11.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen. He's been bad for four straight. He was great for the first four. He's been bad for
four
straight.
And here's one where you can do something about it because, again, I just think that, and maybe this is faulty logic. Maybe we're sitting here saying, Lamar's been bad for four of his, seven starts. How come you're not hammering him as much as you're hammering Josh Allen? Because it does feel like, even if it's ugly, the floor of Lamar, as bad as you could be yesterday for Lamar, as bad as it could possibly be. And he still got you 14.8 fantasy points, right? He had four turnovers. So yesterday, Josh Allen, who gets 12.5. And I'll just say this, Matthew, is that, first of all, Lamar's a better runner, that much we know. Josh is a better goal line finisher, but Lamar's a better runner, that much is obvious. The Bills' pass catchers, certainly major upgrade in Stephon Diggs. But still, I'm sitting there watching them yesterday during that Patriots-Bills game, and I'm like, I didn't even know if John Brown played yesterday. He did. He did, obviously. But, he can disappear, right? Cole Beasley is a nice, solid player.
He's a role player.
But this is not
He shouldn't be a featured part of your offense. Right,
but this is not like the Seahawks where it's like, DK Metcalf is having a monster day. I forgot they have Tyler Lockett because DK Metcalf is so good. Oh, wait, Tyler Lockett had 53 fantasy points last week. It's just different.
Right.
So weapons a little bit less intimidating in Buffalo, and Josh Allen not quite the same runner. And their schedule coming up is not quite – I'm sorry. Their schedule, whatever. I'm okay with the schedule.
The problem is the schedule doesn't matter. Because here's the thing.
It's been good opportunities recently. Patriots and Jets.
That's what I was going to say. Patriots, Jets, the Titans, as we've seen. It's not like the Titans are a great defense.
Right.
Right, and teams have been able to put up points on the Jets. So it's maddening. And by the way, the Dolphins are better defense. He had a great game against the Dolphins. By the way, the Dolphins, better defense than I think they get credit for.
Number one scoring defense in the NFL.
I'm just saying. So to me, it feels like it's much more about Josh Allen and the Bills' game plan than it is necessarily any defense there. I think yesterday what happened is, so it's two things, right? And so they referenced this on the broadcast. Number one is that teams are playing them a lot deeper. This happened to Mahomes a little bit
as well.
Run the football. They're like, we will give up a 5-yard run better than a 50-yard bomb to Stephon Diggs. We'll do that. We know that Josh Allen has that kind of arm. Diggs has that kind of speed, as does John Brown. So you know what? We're going to keep it all in front of us. And we're going to.
One other thing.
So there's that. They were also running the ball very effectively.
There's one more thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Josh Allen still gives you an opportunity every game on defense one, two, or three times, right? Like,
right.
He was picked off yesterday in a throw that you're like, who, what did he see to throw
right.
the football
yeah.
that just landed in the lap of, I think it was J.C. Jackson for the
yeah.
Patriots. So, Josh Allen's a conversation now. It's a conversation. You've got to have a good option, but it's a conversation.
He is no longer a no-brainer, set it and forget it starter. You know, I'm in this, I'm in this Agbo superhero league. We're all playing for charity, and I was playing, Josh Allen's my quarterback in that league, and I was crushing early, and I still have the most points in the league, but I also have the most points against, and so like I'm sweating out playing Robert Downey Jr. yesterday, who has who did he have? He had somebody crazy that oh, he had Mahomes, and I'm just like oh no, like I can't lose, you know, and like listen. Downey Jr. is better than me in every other aspect of life.
Right.
Yeah. So could I at least beat him in fantasy football? And thank you, Dalvin Cook, wherever you are, because Dalvin Cook bailed me out.
Well,
but
let's
Josh
right
Allen did
our...
me no Josh Allen did me no favors in that league. It's a 14-team league, and I'm like, I got to figure that out. I got to get that figured out.
I'm just going to say this. The guy
and I ended up winning that matchup, just want to say. So just on the long list, there's 8 billion things that Robert Downey Jr. is better at me than. And at least for 1 week, I'm better at him at fantasy football.
Geico, good news of the day, and this is news, is Dalvin Cook, who yesterday had 48.6 fantasy points. Just a remarkable performance. 163 rushing yards with three touchdowns, two catches for 63 yards, and a touchdown. It was a long, long touchdown. There's really nothing that I need to give you fantasy takeaway-wise, other than I just want to just, hey, Stefania said yesterday on Fantasy Football Now, he's going to play a full game here, and he held up brilliantly, Stefania.
He did. You know, I think they learned their lesson with him because you recall a couple years ago coming off that ACL when he had the hamstring injury and they just kept putting him out there. And this time they made the decision to hold him back and it obviously paid off. I mean, he looked really, you know, in addition to everything he did, I was just watching how he was running and he looked fantastic out of the gate, just really moving well.
So if I told you, and he was great, great, great performance from Dalvin Cook. Bravo, we look forward to having more monster weeks from him going forward. If I told you that going into a game that you would have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen account for 43% of the catches for the Vikings, would you take it?
Yeah, sure.
Great. They got 43% of the catches yesterday. The problem was they threw it. They had 14 completions. 14 did Kirk Cousins yesterday because Dalvin Cook took care of
right.
the heavy lifting. So if you're wondering whether the two down performances from Jefferson and Thielen is news or noise, it's noise. These guys literally, Minnesota ran the football 34 times. Oh, I'm sorry. They didn't have 14 attempts. They had 14 passes total yesterday.
They didn't need to. Dalvin Cook was nothing short of fantastic yesterday. And if that's working, why are you going to do anything else? They were also in positive game script for the Vikings, which, by the way, is not going to happen very often
right,
this year.
Right.
That defense is bad as well. Look at their upcoming schedule. Lions, then at Chicago, Dallas, Carolina, Jacksonville. Better days are ahead for that passing attack. The only one that scares you is at Chicago in week 10. Although this is worth noting. I thought this was interesting. Thirsty Kyle points this out. Week 14, they play at, this is the fantasy playoffs.
Okay.
Week 14, Vikings play at Tampa Bay. Week 15, they're home to Chicago. Week 16, they're at New Orleans. Which the Saints defense isn't what it is. Maybe they improve by week 16.
Yeah.
But are you considering selling high on Dalvin Cook because you could get a king's ransom for him right now?
Absolutely like not.
If somebody offered you Christian McCaffrey coming back, Christian McCaffrey plus something for Dalvin Cook, you doing that?
I'd consider it depending on what that plus something is.
All right.
But no, I mean, we're in the year where we have learned this. There have been so many injuries. Why would you ever
right.
get rid of a player that looks like he has a chance to be a top three running back for the rest of the season? There's like five good running backs in fantasy right now. Five of them, maybe.
Right.
Hold on to the ones that you have if they are really good. A couple more pieces of news or noise here, and we can be quick on this one, I think. Philip Rivers rostered in just 8% of leagues. 22.3 fantasy points, Matthew. News or noise?
I think it's noise still. Look, now, the fact is that they come out of the bye, and he looked better.
Yeah,
so that's good.
Yeah.
So that's good. So it's like something like, okay, let's keep an eye on it. Like, okay, you've gotten my attention now. I'm not doing anything about it. I'm not picking you up. I'm not starting you next week. But I'm now like, okay, I'm willing to consider you might not be totally done
yeah.
fantasy-wise. Again, all due respect to Philip Rivers. But again, They play home to Baltimore next week. You don't love that. But if he does something against Baltimore, then at Tennessee, home to Green Bay, home to Tennessee, at Houston. So there's a four-game stretch there after the Ravens, which is pretty nice. Again, after the Ravens here in week 9, at Titans, home to Packers, home to Titans, at Houston. That's really good. And look at this playoff schedule.
Yeah.
At the Raiders, home to Houston, at Pittsburgh, that stinks. Week 17 is Jacksonville.
My guess is that because of all the quarterbacks that are available, it's still going to be really, unless he goes scorched earth, it's going to be a long time before we're considering Phillip Rivers a consistent starter in fantasy.
I agree with you, but I'm just pointing it out there for people that are in deeper leagues, two quarterback leagues, that, you know, and with still bias to come up, that there may be some matchups here where he's a viable streamer. But I'm with you. I still think it's noise. I need to see it more consistently. But I have a question for you. Is there, we'll get to the running backs in a second. But is there a pass catch? Is there a part of this passing offense for the Colts? And I just read that schedule. It's pretty nice.
No.
After the Ravens.
No.
Titans pack that you want.
No.
Not any of the tight ends, not any of the wide receivers.
Why?
Exactly.
Who would I want?
Exactly. Like, it's a three-headed monster at the tight end position. I mean, I know Trey Burton got a rushing touchdown, but Mo Alcox was out there. Jack Doyle also gets a touchdown here. We heard Stefania talk earlier about T.Y. Hilton. Like, Zach Pascal, Marcus Johnson. Like, you're not starting any of these guys. Pickman?
Catch a pass yesterday.
No.
It's ridiculous. Let's keep this moving here.
No, the only Colt you're potentially starting is a running back, and we need to get into that, too. And
yes, we will. So let's get through a couple of these that I think are maybe a little bit less interesting than those Colts running backs. And Corey Davis, you and I think we see this one differently. News or noise?
Can I ride the fence on this one?
I mean, nope. If you want to, but...
What? How dare you let him off the hook that easy?
Okay, fine. Daniel's rules. No, you can't. News or noise?
Noise-ish.
Why? Why is it noise?
Here's the only concern I have.
Okay.
Here's the only concern I have. So I'm willing to buy it. I'm saying noise as like a top, because he's going to finish this week as like a top five fantasy wide receiver. So
right.
I'm saying noise there, right? But like as a viable piece, as a piece that should be rostered, yes, that I buy. So that's why I'm saying fence sitting here. The only reason why is that, you know, and Mike Clay noted this on Twitter, is that A.J. Brown, William Jackson spent a lot of time on A.J. Brown, did a really nice job. He's having a really good year, very underrated corner. And a lot of Corey Davis's production this year was early in the season when A.J. Brown was hurt. And so, like, just, you know, like, how many, given how much they want to run the ball with Derrick Henry, given that we all agree A.J. Brown is the 1A in this offense,
yeah.
Right, so now you're like, is Corey Davis at best? He's the third, maybe fourth option. Now, Jonnu Smith has fallen off a little bit.
Right.
But it's just how productive can he be week in, week out? Again, I am buying him as a viable fantasy asset, but I'm not buying him as the guy that's going to score 25 fantasy points every week.
So I think we're having two different conversations.
Okay.
Because I don't think most people are saying to themselves, yeah, he's a top 25 lock, but he's available in 64% of leagues.
He needs to be rostered in more than that.
No question about that.
Okay, so we agree there.
Yes. And 11.9 fantasy points in all of his games this season. So that's at least something to have on your roster as a depth piece on your bench. Ryan Tannehill, are you worried about this Titans offense at all? News or noise? He had 233 passing yards yesterday, 2 passing touchdowns, 1 pick, and 20 rushing yards.
Not at all.
Yeah, same. I mean,
not at all.
Bad day, and they're a weird team. They've played all close games except for one when they blew out the Bills. Every game besides that, they've either lost or only won by one score. So they're going to be in more competitive games than you realize, but that was a weird egg they laid yesterday.
And yet, even in a game in which everything went wrong and they were going to blow it out, he still finished with over 17 fantasy points.
Yeah, good enough.
Like, he didn't kill you the way that, like, Josh Allen did. Taysom Hill had more fantasy points than Josh Allen
today. I don't want to be reminded of that.
Just saying.
Mecole Hardman had 7 catches on 9 targets for 96 yards and a touchdown. Matthew, news or noise?
You know what? A little bit of news, just because the Kansas City Chiefs, and career highs in targets and receptions. He ran more routes as well. Yeah. And if you're being productive when you're on the field with Patrick Mahomes, good things can happen. The problem is, of course, it was the Jets. Mahomes, despite his brilliance, is not always going to throw 5 touchdown passes. You know,
yeah. I need to see it multiple weeks at least before, because we've seen it before, right? I mean,
right. Where he's had a big
I understand
game.
He's never had this many catches. This many targets and this many catches and targets. But
they drafted him high for a reason. They him there.
They were very uncertain about Tyreek Hill's future at that time. So what do you got, Daniel?
So here's what I want to say about this, right? Because I feel the same way that you do feel that. But at this point, unless I see it for like 4 or 5 games in a row, totally. We've seen these massive games out of him. We know the skill set and the talent that he has.
It's Tyreek Hill. It's Travis Kelce. DeMarcus Robinson, a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Plus they have CEH, and now Le'Veon Bell is part
we'll
of it.
That like, for a second. But here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. For if you're sitting there going, like, I need to see it 4 or 5 weeks in a row, that's fine. But by the time you've decided, you know what, I'm in on Mecole Hardman, he's gone.
You're right.
Someone in your league has taken him.
How about 2 weeks? Let's start there.
Okay, fine.
2 weeks in a row. I think
I'll allow that.
It becomes a much more interesting conversation.
I've heard your request, and I'll allow it.
Last one here, and I'll take care of this one, is Mike Williams, who yesterday had 21 fantasy points. It is his second time in the past 3 games that he has played that he has had at least 20 fantasy points. The problem is he sandwiched yesterday's effort and 2 weeks ago that effort with a one-catch game. Now, I think this is a pretty obvious one here from Mike Williams, who has now dropped below 50% rostership, is that he should be added and stashed on benches because of Justin Herbert.
1,000%.
Justin Herbert is a special young quarterback, and he's one Keenan Allen injury away from being the number one wide receiver in this offense. We saw Keenan Allen get banged up with a back issue like 3 weeks ago. That Mike Williams does not need to be started. He was started in 11% of leagues, but there are some matchups that you like going forward, and with Justin Herbert, you've got a chance. Get Mike Williams on some benches. Let's get to the backfields, because there are so many of them, and I think they are important to work through. Let's start in Buffalo, and I think the idea here, Matthew, is basically what happened and what do we learn going forward. So for the Bills, best day of the season, I would think, for Devin Singletary, 86 rushing yards. That part's good. 10.2 fantasy points. Not terrible. The problem is Zach Moss had 81 rush yards and 2 touchdowns. Neither one of them really got going in the passing game. They combined for 1 catch that belonged to Singletary. Is this the changing of the guard in the Bills' backfield? Was this just them having a good matchup but taking advantage of, as you said, the Patriots protecting against the vertical shots? It was also very windy for portions of that game yesterday. What do you make of the Bills' backfield?
Yeah, I mean, once again, this is one that I want to see a little bit more. I think you have to be encouraged if you've been stashing Zach Moss. Like the fact that he converted the 2 to, right,
he's been dropped down to like 34% roster ship.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, he's been dropped in a lot of leagues. So it just, or if you want to pick him up, like the fact that he converted at the goal line, not even at the goal line, they were like 6-yard runs, something like that, 8-yard runs, but it was impressive. And so, like, it was basically a split, except Moss is going to get the scoring equity, and I think that is how it will go going forward. It was one of the reasons why Moss was a trendy preseason sleeper, was people thought this is a guy that was hard to tackle in college, that had a nose for the end zone in college. We think he's going to be, he's got a real good chance to be the scoring down back for the Bills. And so I think it's interesting. You know, this is one that I want to see more before I'm willing to trust it. I do think a lot of that was sort of game script dependent, like they felt like. But yes, if teams are going to continue to play Buffalo that way, like we're going to play it back and we're going to give up the rushing, and Bills will say like, all right, fine, we'll take that and we're going to control the clock, then, you know, they become interesting flex plays, Moss over Singletary for me.
Let's get to the Colts backfield. And what the heck happened here? I have no idea what happened here. By my eye test, Jonathan Taylor has been solid this season. He hasn't been spectacular.
Right.
But he has not been bad either. And yesterday, Jordan Wilkins led the Colts with 38 snaps played. He had 20 rushes for 89 yards. He had a touchdown. He had a catch for 24 yards. He had 20.3 fantasy points. And just to make it that much more confusing, Nyheim Hines had 3 catches for 54 yards with 2 touchdowns and the coolest celebration of the year. He belongs on like a gymnastics team or something.
Sure.
You'll find it if you haven't seen it already. It's very cool. But what the heck, Matthew? What happened to Jonathan Taylor?
He wasn't good. He wasn't good. None of them were. They were trying to get a spark. Like, so I read an article in the Indianapolis Star, you know, that had a bunch of quotes from Frank Reich, and it was kind of a recap of the game. And they talked about the fact that, like, they were trying, they wanted to get all guys involved, that they like all 3 guys, and that in the first, whatever, 15, 20 plays that Frank Reich scripted, like, he had touches for all 3 running backs in that script just to get them going and see what they had.
Right.
And then Wilkins started to get going, and in the second half, like, Taylor didn't even touch the ball. Maybe he touched it, like, once or twice. Like, it was all Wilkins in the second half, and so it was literally a hot hand sort of approach here, is that Wilkins just started going, and Taylor hadn't. And so I think what I'm throwing out the Nyheim Hines thing. Like, we saw this week 1, too. Like, you're not counting on Nyheim Hines for any kind of fantasy production. But I think this is more, look, I assume Wilkins has made your waiver wire column. He should.
It was sort of like, I'm not sure what to do, so I'm going to tell you to add him because I don't want to tell you to not add him and then have him get 20 carries again next week.
100%. Now, this is really interesting, and I'm just going to completely own this. But, like, so one of the guys I follow on Twitter is a guy named Sigmund Bloom, who does a great job. So Sig's a longtime friend. Football Guys is great. I do business with Football Guys through RotoPass, just, you know, be very close. Anyway, and so he just tweeted, like, a little while ago. He wrote a hat tip to Jeff Turfetiller, who is also a Football Guys writer. Rivers, quote, obviously JT was nicked up. And so just basically, apparently in a post-game interview, this is what I'm reading for the tweet. So if I get this wrong, I get this wrong. But from what I understand, Sigmund's a great follow on Twitter, by the way. Follow him at Sigmund Bloom. But one of the in essence, what he's saying is that Rivers, as an offhanded comment, said obviously Jonathan Taylor was not 100% healthy in some sort of post-game press conference, is what I'm assuming that tweet means. Could be wrong on this. But my point is that whether it was because he was a little bit nicked up or they're trying to cover for him, Jordan Wilkins was the best running back on that team yesterday, and it wasn't particularly close. And if you're Frank Reich, you're trying to win football games. You're not worried about draft capital. You're not worried about the contract status of Jonathan Taylor, Jordan Wilkins. You're trying to win football games. And if Jordan Wilkins is the best, the guy that gives you the best chance, there's a chance. Now, do I think all of a sudden Jonathan Taylor's losing his job? I don't. Mm-hmm. But I do think, for me, I agree with you, Wilkins should be picked up. But for me, the concerning part is less about Wilkins' rise in value and more of a downtick in value for Taylor, because I do think this is going to be a committee again. Remember, they started the year. They were like, Marlon Mack's going to be the starter. We're like, ha-ha, yeah, it is. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess he is, until Marlon Mack got hurt. Like, I think this is going to be a committee.
So last week on the show, I had sort of a – it was sort of a clunky way to get into the conversation, but I was trying to make the point that if we're going into week 8, and the Rams' backfield was the one that I was pointing to, saying like, I don't know how we're supposed to assess this backfield going forward, then what are we offering you other than a guess each week? It sounds like Indianapolis might be, like, invited themselves to that party. And, like, close to 10 teams, maybe even more, if you factor in backfields that just aren't fantasy relevant week to week right now, we could be looking at close to half the NFL that has major question marks in the backfield, including the Lions.
I'm legitimately concerned about Jonathan Taylor. And as we've mentioned a few times, they play the Ravens next week. You're not starting a Colts running back. You're not starting Jonathan Taylor next week.
I was going to say, absent rhetoric from somebody saying from the Colts, like, hey, we're starting Jordan Wilkins this week and he's going to be the guy, or saying that about Jonathan Taylor, you're not starting a Colts running back, at least based off what we saw yesterday. Let's talk about the Lions now. DeAndre Swift, here's the really good news. He had over three times as many snaps as Adrian Peterson. But the problem is that he had one rushing yard, which is not good. That's 3 whole feet of rushing yards.
Hashtag analysis.
For DeAndre Swift.
That is not good.
3+ catches in 4 straight games. Okay, that's good enough. But, like, what is DeAndre Swift other than you're hoping for him to do what he did in that game a couple of weeks ago, back in week 6, when he had over 100 rushing yards and a couple of touchdowns? What is he? Weekly dart throw, hope and a prayer?
I think he's a shaky flex play.
Okay.
If you want to look for some positives here, he played 37 snaps. Adrian Peterson played 12. Whatever. Kerryon Johnson gets, I think I tweeted this, like, it's appropriate on Halloween weekend that we see a touchdown scored by the ghost of Kerryon Johnson. And that's what that is. I mean, honestly, like, you know, Kerryon Johnson's not a bad player, but he's not.
I think Field said this right last week. The idea that, like, the Lions coaching staff loves what Kerryon Johnson can do as a pass blocker, and he's a very competent runner and a pass catcher. But from a fantasy perspective, he will not have any value as long as DeAndre Swift is there, I don't feel like.
That is correct. And
I,
so
I guess I'm – yeah, sorry.
No, I was just going to say is that, you know, I do think – yeah, I mean, I think he's a shaky flex play. It's going to depend on what else you have and – you know, and your bye week situation, your injury situation, their schedule gets a little bit better. They're at Minnesota this week. That's not a run defense that scares you by any stretch of the imagination. Then they're home to Washington, actually a decent run defense there, at Carolina, which has been a little bit up and down, home to Houston. So it's a up and down schedule coming up for the next 4 here.
Yeah.
But you asked me, would I be able to start him with confidence? No. But am I getting rid of him? I'm not doing that either.
No. There's a gray area between what you know what we're saying. Like, you know, it's not that we don't know. It's not that we you're saying we have to drop him or whatever. It's just that I think people need to understand that for a lot of backfields right now, our analysis is going to be, when I say projection, I mean projection. It is certainly not stating with certainty, which could apply to the Rams backfield now. As we talked about, Darrell Henderson banged up a little bit with that thigh injury, but Malcolm Brown had 53 snaps yesterday. Now, I know what the counterpoint will be, is that this game got out of hand early. I mean, the Dolphins were up like by like 17 points before I could even blink. They scored on a punt return. They scored on a fumble return. They had, I believe, a pick six as well yesterday.
And they also they had one play, I think, where basically, in essence, it was a defensive touchdown because they got all the way down to the 1 yard line and then they punched it. You know what I mean? Like, and then the Dolphins
short
punched it in,
yep,
with Miles Gaskin. But it was, in essence, a defensive touchdown.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it was. So, they had very, very, very bad offensive woes yesterday. Did the Rams? That basically prevented them from establishing the run yesterday, which they would have likely liked to do, given that the Dolphins' vulnerability this year has been their run defense. But with the Darrell Henderson injury being factored in, the fact that Cam Akers got 9 touches yesterday, are the Rams a backfield that you're avoiding at all costs now going forward?
No.
You still like Henderson?
I do still like Henderson. Henderson was the guy yesterday.
Okay.
Like, to me, what this backfield is that it is Henderson. Henderson's the one, Brown is the two. They prefer Brown in pass protection. They prefer him there. And so he's when they're driving late, when they're in the 2-minute drill and they're hurry up, it's going to be Brown out there. But Henderson has a gear that Malcolm Brown just doesn't, and they like him. And by the way, prior to getting injured, what were the numbers? Thirsty Kyle, it was like something like 8 for 37 or something like that. Like, Henderson was running. What?
I'll take a look.
Okay. Yeah, it was like 8 for 30. I want to say it was like 8 for 47, maybe. So, like, he had like really good numbers, you know, prior to getting hurt. Cam Akers came in entirely towards the end when they're like, okay, this game's out of hand. Let's might as well give the rookie some run. But then it was once Henderson left, it was the Malcolm Brown show for the majority of the game. They're on a bye this week. And so for me, I'm not going to overreact yet because there's a very good chance that by the time they come back, it's good timing for Darrell Henderson. So they've got the bye week to get healthy. But I didn't see anything yesterday against the Dolphins that makes me think Darrell Henderson lost his job due to performance.
Okay, well, you might have seen something.
And I didn't think Cam Akers was suddenly like, whoa, we got to get that guy on the field.
I have trust issues with the Rams backfield, and it doesn't get any easier with the injury to Henderson and at least the appearance of Cam Akers, who had been not a healthy scratch, but had been very seldom involved for the Rams of late.
If you've been carrying Cam Akers this whole time, I don't have a problem if you want to keep him and see what happens when they come out of the bye. But it's hard to imagine that unless this injury to Henderson is serious, that Akers is going to have significant value. It's the kind of value where you feel comfortable starting him anytime soon.
We're pressed up against time, so let's get through a couple more of these backfields, starting with the Ravens, who yesterday did run the football pretty effectively. Stefania, though, part of the reason why is that there was no Mark Ingram. Based off what we know right now, and it's early on Monday, is there any chance he could be available in week 9?
I think there's a chance, but it sounds like he might not be. I mean, now with the Ravens not saying much about his injury other than he had an ankle injury, now it's starting to sort of seep out that maybe it's a high ankle sprain he's dealing with, which typically, as we know, costs more time, especially for a running back. So I wouldn't be counting on him to return.
Okay. And as Matthew pointed out in our show note last night, he thinks that maybe this Ravens run game is actually better without Mark Ingram.
Not maybe. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, like, I all due respect to Mark Ingram as a clubhouse leader, as a veteran, as a guy that is beloved in that within that franchise, but like, he's the third best running back on that team, and I don't think it's particularly close, yeah, at least right. From what I've seen.
Yeah, and so those entering the season, and we don't ever hope for a player to regress. We don't ever hope for a player to get hurt. But the upside of J.K. Dobbins was based around the idea that talent should ultimately catapult him to the top of this depth chart. And if there was a world in which J.K. Dobbins was the go-to back for the Ravens, it could be very fantasy useful. Yesterday, he had 113 rushing yards plus 2 targets, 1 catch for 8 yards. He had twice as many snaps as Gus Edwards, who also had 87 rushing yards, and he did score a touchdown.
He scored a touchdown.
But he has exactly 0 catches this year, so he is literally just up the gut. That's pretty much all he has to do in that Ravens offense. Have we seen potentially the emergence of J.K. Dobbins to the point that he could be like a weekly top 20 play?
Yes. I mean, it's going to all depend on how he needs to, pardon the pun, take the job and run with it,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's got an opportunity. We're not expecting Ingram to play next week. It's a tough matchup with the Colts. But if Dobbins can, again, to your point, 52 snaps to just 26 for Gus Edwards, he's the much more complete running back. And so if that can be, like, again, like a 65-35 time split in terms of J.K. Dobbins, the touchdowns will come. The passing game usage is there. Yes, do I think there's a scenario in which J.K. Dobbins becomes a viable RB2 over the second half of the year? I do. And he's certainly worth an add if he's been dropped in your league to find out.
He is the lead on this week's Waiver Wire column, which will be out later today on ESPN.com.
You're a company man.
Oh, we have it. Nice. Whoa. New studio.
What do you mean, we have it? Always the tone of surprise with you, Field Yates.
Sorry, I didn't know with the new studio.
Well, in fairness to Field, he's worked with you before. In fairness.
If you're missing
the fun. Saying.
Yeah, that's right. Let's do a livery. Because if you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium, it doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with Ballpark Buns and Rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball and summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of the year. Whether shared at the backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab Ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop.
From the moment they're born, you do everything you can to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you as you're looking out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic, to standard cross-traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and oncoming traffic as you reverse. It's nice to know that someone's looking out for you. The XC90, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more.
All right, let's get to you want to do the Patriots backfield quick, Daniel?
Let's run through a couple more backfields.
Let's finish up with the Patriots backfield here. Damien Harris has 200-plus-yard rushing games in four games for the Patriots this season. Eye test certainly looks like the best running back as a runner in their backfield. But, Matthew, here's what he is. He is a game script-dependent, volume-dependent rusher.
I wanted you to tell me that this was legit and I could just trust it, because I would love to have a running back I can just put into my lineup.
But there's no passing game usage.
Yeah, he's a good player, but this is not that different than a lot. Like, actually, is in some ways, one of the themes of this week's waiver wire column is, like, which volume-dependent running back do you like the most? Because there are a lot of them. Zach Moss, and also Damien Harris, and also I think J.K. Dobbins to a degree. He only got two targets yesterday. The upside, I think, is highest with J.K. Dobbins. Damien Harris is a nice player, but, you know, the Patriots, they can't throw the football right now. That much is for sure. So maybe they're going to be one of the more run-heavy teams this season. Good matchup next week against the Jets, so maybe you capitalize for a week, Matthew, but it's hard for me to envision this being a top 20 option rest of season.
Yes, I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. Like, again, like he needs volume because there's no passing game. There's no passing game usage, and then he's competing for touchdowns with, obviously, Cam Newton. Had another one yesterday, right? And they still like Rex Burkhead there. And you've got James White. And by the way, Sony Michel came off the COVID-19 list over the weekend as well. So it's just, they got a lot of guys there. And I'm with you. There's certainly talent there, but in terms of consistent fantasy production, it's going to be hard to trust. Although I will like him this week against the Jets.
Let's rip through some pass catchers who got good opportunities this week, or at least had the opportunity to have good opportunity. We start with Jarvis Landry and the Browns, because Odell Beckham Jr. was out yesterday. Bad weather. Obviously, it was gnarly.
Yeah, I don't think we can take anything away from this.
But 11 targets for Jarvis Landry. He did certainly see the kind of volume that you were hoping for if you thought he had a chance to be a top 25 wide receiver the rest of the way. And the day looks a lot different if he has that touchdown go in his favor.
Right.
He had a touchdown catch that was overturned. It was one of those where it was close. I mean, it was like 55-45, whether I thought it was a touchdown catch or a touchdown drop. But 11 targets, 9.2 fantasy points. He's clearly the Browns wide receiver that you can trust, the only one. But even taking away the weather, Matthew, is there anybody else that you would feel good about based off what we saw yesterday? I mean, nobody got going.
Based off what we saw yesterday, I do believe in Rashard Higgins. I do think he's an interesting guy. Now, they're on a bye this week as well, so you may be hard-pressed to carry him over, and he's probably still out there in a decent amount of leagues. But I do think going forward, Higgins is pretty interesting, by the way, because they come out of the bye. Texans, Eagles, Jags, Tennessee.
Yeah, none of those scare you.
None of those scare you. And there is a connection there between Mayfield and Higgins. And, again, the weather was absolutely brutal there. You mentioned the refs. Like, listen, in that same game, Henry Ruggs had what I thought was a touchdown. That also got overturned as well. Like, the refs had all the 50-50 calls went the wrong way, I guess, if you're a fantasy player in that particular game. So, I think better days are ahead for the Browns passing offense out of the bye. I wouldn't take too much into this. Weather was brutal. The wind was brutal. To me, it was the game that was affected the most by weather yesterday.
I thought it was a better opportunity for A.J. Green to keep it rolling yesterday against the Titans defense that has been bad. Did not work out in his favor. 2 catches on 5 targets for 19 yards. Probably is what he is right now, right? I mean, like, he might have more of a pulse than T.Y. Hilton, but this is not a player that needs to be rostered in all leagues on ESPN.com.
Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, that's who you're starting in the Bengals.
Those are the Bengals that most intrigue.
Pass catchers, in that order.
I think it's important to talk about the Cowboys for a second here, Matthew, because obviously Ben DiNucci took over as a starting quarterback for at least 1 week, and it may be just 1 week. We'll see whether Andy Dalton is ready to play on Sunday against Pittsburgh, but no surprise, it was not particularly great. As a matter of fact, it was very ugly. Amari Cooper had 1 catch for 5 yards on 5 targets. CeeDee Lamb had 5 targets, good for 4 catches, 27 yards and 19 rush yards. And, of course, because why not, Michael Gallup had 12 targets and 7 catches for 61
right.
yards. I got nothing here. I mean, it was a wild offense they were running, right? I mean, like, yeah. They were, you know, motions and jet sweeps and manufacturing touches left and right. I'm happy for Ben DiNucci to have this moment, right? And they played competitive for the first half, but I would – and I know it wasn't much better with Andy Dalton, but, you know, I think this Dallas offense desperately needs Dalton back soon.
They play the Steelers this week, which is, you know, one of, if not the best defense in football right
yep.
now. Then they're on a bye.
Yeah, not good.
So there's not, like, to me the bigger concern is, do you start Ezekiel Elliott? And I think you're going to have to, but you don't feel good about it. You don't feel good about Zeke right now off of what you've seen since Dak Prescott went down, and certainly now they've got the Steelers in a bye next 2 weeks. Like,
it sounds crazy, but
it's,
I mean,
like, it's a conversation. You're probably not, but it's like, that's insane to think about. But, like, honestly, like, over since Dak Prescott went down, Ezekiel Elliott is what? I bet you he's running back 28, like 37, something like
disgusting.
That. Disgusting. Thursday, Kyle will find that real quick, but just anyway, whatever. The next 2 weeks, Steelers and then a bye. Ezekiel Elliott's the only piece of the Cowboys offense that you're really considering using, I think.
So
maybe Amari Cooper if Dalton's back.
I have 3 real quick questions. If Ben DiNucci starts next week, this is obviously Monday morning instant reaction. A lot can change between now and then. Are you starting any of these 3 wide receivers?
No, not for me.
I would rather not.
Okay. If Andy Dalton starts next week, are you starting Amari Cooper with probably sort of confidence in the other two, or you hope you don't have to play them?
I would say yes.
Yes. I would agree with that as well.
Knowing that there is a Steelers game and then a bye week, if you're in a position where you need to be able to win and you're not going to play any of these guys next week against the Steelers, are any of them droppable, or do you feel like you need to continue to hold on to them based on the upside that they could have if they have better quarterback play down the stretch?
I think Gallup remains droppable if you need the roster.
Sure. Schultz, and honestly, like, in a 10-team league, if you had to drop CeeDee Lamb, that doesn't, you know... That doesn't make me think, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd
like,
rather
we're talking
not,
about the
but...
fact that, like, Mike Williams is out there in a lot of league. You know, when there are guys in that sort of range that, like, have more upside, that have better quarterback play.
Yeah, it's tough right now. I mean, the offensive line is brutal. I mean, there are a lot of teams, a lot of injuries right now. So the Cowboys are not alone, but it is one of those offenses that is a complete shell.
And I'll even say this, like, if you're in a must-win situation, like, where you've got to win the next 2 weeks. Like, again, like, if you can get a decent return for Ezekiel Elliott, you know, based on a name value, I got no problem trading Ezekiel Elliott. Again, Steelers and a bye.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem. Like, if you can get a top 15-ish player for Zeke, for somebody that's looking further down the road, I have no problem with doing it if you have to win the next 2 weeks.
How crazy is the Dallas Cowboys when you think about what Dak and that team and that offense was doing at the beginning of the year, and now here we are just a couple weeks later, fantasy managers, like, literally couldn't have been, like, from riches to nothing.
I think, and this is just, you know, just thinking out loud here, maybe the Cowboys should pay Dak. Maybe they should do that so that he sticks around for a long time, because Maybe he's actually really good.
Maybe.
That seemed like it could be true.
Right? I mean, who's helping their MVP case more this year than Dak Prescott?
Nobody. Nobody. Dak Prescott is a star. I hope the Cowboys eventually pay him like that.
Right.
Long term. We've got a big Monday Night Football matchup tonight.
By the way, Ezekiel out last 3 weeks, running back 33 on a per game basis.
Yikes. That sounds terrible.
Thirsty Kyle texting me right now.
Bucks and Giants tonight. Make sure you check it out on ESPN, the ESPN app, and ESPN Deportes. We're back on Tuesday for a Waiver Wire Tuesday, a recap of that game, and plenty of injury updates courtesy of Stefania, who is just feet away from us, as you can see.
Yeah, she's if you're watching, you can see like the big wide shot, the crane shot. There you go. There is Stefania Bell, the socially distant Stefania Bell.
For
Stefania Field and Daniel and Matthew, peace out.